Welcome to Something Different from OU Torah, where we give you something different for your learning day. It may surprise you to learn that when there's a difference of opinion between the Shulchan Aruch and the Zohar, some communities follow the Shulchan Aruch, but others will follow the Zohar. The reason this may be surprising is because the Shulchan Aruch is a work of halacha, Jewish law, but the Zohar is a work of Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism. So how did we get into this situation, and why doesn't every community agree on the proper course of action? To introduce this subject, here's Rabbi Alan Kimchi with an excerpt from his series Great Jewish Thinkers, entitled Can We Mix Halacha with Kabbalah?
Something happened with the Jewish people 500 years ago, about the year 1500. And that is that a whole wave of Kabbalistic material became more prominent in Jewish learning. Why that happened and how it happened, as a subject for a whole series of lectures on history and whatever it is, but that particularly the writings of the Zohar and the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal lived in Tzfat. You can go today to Tzfat and visit the Arizal, Arizal Shul, visit the Arizal's. If you're a brave man, you can dip in the Arizal's mikveh, which is not entirely clean and it's freezing cold and whatever. Nevertheless, people tend to do that. You can go to the Arizal's kever and daven at his grave. The Arizal was considered to be, in the last 500 years, the closest thing we had to a Novi, to a prophet, a man of such spiritual stature that it defied anything in his generation or since. So the writings of Arizal were considered to be very, very sacred, and his writings are Kabbalistic writings, right? And the Zohar and a lot of his writings is commentary on the Zohar. Okay, so you have, I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. So you have, in addition to what I mentioned before, which is the Mishnah and the Talmud and the Rambam and Rashi and everything, you now have a new source of information, of Kabbalah, of mysticism. And in this mystical material, there are lots of comments which relate to the halacha. And the question is, do you incorporate Kabbalistic material into your halachic reasoning or don't you? So there are two schools of thought on this. One school of thought is, well, the Kabbalistic material is Kodesh Kadoshim. It contains a lot of, it certainly comes from a holy source. It's an understanding of the Torah, which is extremely important to us and extremely inspirational. When I'm considering a halachic question, I can certainly draw on that material. And then there's another school of thought, which, and again, I'm oversimplifying, I'm criminally oversimplifying here on this particular question. But there's another school of thought, which is that halacha is the mandatory normative rules of do's and don'ts for Jewish life. And that's based on the Talmud and the Rambam and Rashi, and it's got nothing to do with Kabbalah. Kabbalah is about something else. Kabbalah is about a Kabbalistic life for people who want to live a spiritual, mystical existence. That's got nothing to do with halacha. Halacha is something else completely, right? Halacha is meant to be normative. Normative means equally applicable to everybody. Every man and woman has to keep Shabbos, has to eat kosher, has to keep milk and meat separate, right? That is normative. That is, if you like, a norm, right? The halacha is not the norm. The halacha is people who are living on a different planet, really, and who live a spiritual, mystical life. So yes, that's also valid, but that's not halacha. And you will find that there are lots of issues. You will not believe, actually, how many issues in our daily life depend on this question. Do you or don't you include Kabbalistic information into your halachic material? An amazing amount. Just to give you a little bit of a taste of this, in, for example, the mitzvah of tefillin, right? Every Jewish man puts on tefillin every morning, right? In the mitzvah of tefillin, there are about half a dozen different practices, right? Which depend, are you following the halachic sources or the Kabbalistic sources? So for example, are you standing or sitting when you put on your tefillin, right? So in the Talmud, it says you should stand. In the Zohar, it says you should sit. So some people sit and some people stand, right? Those people who follow the Zohar in the world in which we live today, notably the Eidot HaMizrach, right? The Eidot HaMizrach, the communities from Iraq, from Persia, from Kazakhstan, with Yemen and Algeria, they tend to follow the Zohar, and therefore they put on tefillin sitting down. Everybody who comes from Europe, pretty much, puts on tefillin standing up. Right? It's a small example, but it's an interesting example. Another example is, do you or do you not? So everybody knows that weekdays you wear tefillin, and Shabbos and Yom Tov you don't wear. Why not? You already know why not. It's because of the word in the Torah. It says os, alav bov taf. Of means it's a sign, right? But with tefillin, it says uksharetem laos al yodecha. You wear tefillin as a sign of your commitment to God, right? But Shabbos, it says v'shomer b'nei Yisrael is a Shabbos. Lazen darshim beini uvein b'nei Yisrael os hilulam. Shabbos itself is a sign. We don't need tefillin. It says the Gemara in Menachas lamed vav. It says Shabbos is a sign. When you're in Shabbos, you don't need tefillin. Okay, so that's clear and that's normative and everybody agrees. Weekdays you put on tefillin, Shabbos and Yom Tov you don't put on tefillin, that is not disputed. Question, do you put on tefillin Chol HaMoed? Do you put on tefillin Chol HaMoed? There are Jews who are willing to kill each other over this question, right? This is a question which can go nuclear if you get it wrong. On my side, it can go nuclear. Do you or don't you put on tefillin Chol HaMoed? So from the classic sources, it seems that you do put on tefillin Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is not Yom Tov, it's not Shabbos, it's not excluded, the Gemara says, right? Every day is tefillin, except Shabbos and Yom Tov doesn't say Chol HaMoed, right? Comes along the Zohar and the Arizal and says, no, Chol HaMoed, definitely no tefillin, this turns out to be in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Lamed Beis, the machlekes between the Ramah and the Rabbi Yosef Karo debate. Anyhow, and in practice, right, we find today, so for example, my whole life until 2 years ago when I came on Aliyah, right, I've always put on tefillin Chol HaMoed, always. My whole shul put on tefillin Chol HaMoed, my father put on tefillin Chol HaMoed, my brother put on tefillin, everybody was unheard of not to wear tefillin, except in the Hasidic communities. In the Hasidic communities, they didn't wear, but in the non-Hasidic communities, everybody wore tefillin Chol HaMoed. In most shuls, some people did and some people didn't. And that was fine. Nobody got bothered about that. When you come to Israel, right, if you go to a shul in Israel today on Chol HaMoed and put on tefillin, you will be shot. And if not shot, you'll at least be booted out. So there is different practices, but I'm now introducing you to drill a bit down deeper into where does this dispute come from. Right? Everybody agrees that in the Talmud, it's clear that you do wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. Everyone agrees that in the Zohar and the Kabbalistic material, it's clear that you don't. What's the debate? The debate is, do we use Kabbalistic material as a factor in halachic ruling? That's the question. Is the Zohar a source of halacha or not?
Like what you just heard? Hear the rest of that shiur and much more on OUTorah.org or by using the OU Torah app for iOS and Android.